Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman, and welcome to What Women Must Know. Thank you for joining me because, every show is so phenomenal as far as I'm concerned, because I learn so much. And as you know, this show is about empowering you with truthful information so you can really be empowered with the decisions you make in your life. And that's what motivates me, is to really share the knowledge and wisdom from the amazing guests that I have every week to just support you on your journey to reclaiming your health and well-being. I also want to just let you know before we jump into an amazing conversation today that my shows are all archived, and you can listen to any of the shows either by liking me on my Facebook page, which is What Women Must Know. You can go to my website, which is drcherylselman.com. That's drcherylselman.com, and opt in there. Or you can go to Spotify or Podbean. The podcasts are really archived everywhere, so no excuse not to be listening on a regular basis. Well, I am going to dive into our conversation today because we have such an amazing woman with us. I'm going to be having this profound conversation with Julia Roth. We're talking about the craving cure, which is also the title of one of Julia's very successful books. A little bit about Julia. She is a world leader in the use of nutritional therapy for the treatment of mood problems, eating disorders, and addiction. After 10 years as a psychotherapist working with individual adults and adolescents, families, and groups in a variety of psychiatric and outpatient settings, Julia began to direct her own programs. Some of her early achievements included the founding of the San Francisco Bay Area's first programs for food addicts and for drug-addicted adolescents and their families. Julia is the author of The Diet Cure, The Mood Cure, and The Craving Cure. She has been the subject of many articles and publications from Vogue magazine to the Journal of Molecular Psychiatry. Her own articles have been published in Counselor magazine and the Journal of American Psychological Association and the Townsend Letter, Practical Pain Management, and elsewhere. She has frequently appeared as an expert on radio, television, and the Internet. An ABC special on the Mood Cure's approach to depression was aired several times throughout the U.S., and a CBN special on how amino acid therapies eliminate food cravings generated 50,000 calls to the producers. Julia is now the director of the Craving Cure Virtual Clinic and the Neonutrient Therapy Institute, Neuronutrient Therapy Institute based in Mill Valley, California. So, Julia, it's such an honor and such a pleasure to have you on the show, and it's been a long time since we had a conversation, so welcome back.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be back with you. As we were talking about earlier, you're one of my happiest media memories.
That was after you took a lot of amino acids, right? I do want everyone to know that as we get into Julia's work, her books have been profound in my personal life and my professional life, both as a psychotherapist and as a naturopath. I just honor Julia for the work she's doing and for the lives she's changing and saving and transforming. And I'm so looking forward to our conversation because this is part one. We're going to do two interviews with Julia, so much to share. So we're talking about the craving cure and how to heal the cravings and part of the brain that sets us up for craving. And then part two, which will be next week, we're going to be talking about the mood cure, which is all about helping us to resolve anxiety, depression, all the other emotional imbalances that we have, and also how to wean yourself off of the drugs that keep us in a prisoner to these states and to the reactions from the medications and the side effects of the medication. So having said all that, Julia, I'm just going to turn it over to you. I do have one question for you before we jump into the craving cure and your work. I always like to ask this of my guests. what was the seminal moment? What happened to you on your journey? And you began as a psychotherapist. But what was it in your life that led you to doing this work that you've dedicated your life to? How'd you get here?
Well, it's a very easy question to ask and answer. It wasn't subtle at all. I was literally forced into it because I had become a very successful psychotherapist in the addiction field and had just been honored by the offer of becoming the founder of an outpatient program associated with the inpatient program I'd been working in for 7 years. And I was thrilled to take the position. I had all kinds of ideas. I was going to start the first adolescent program in Northern California for teenage addicts and their families. I just was loaded with ideas and confidence and excitement. And initially, all that paid off. Our adolescent program did very well. And then we started an adult program, outpatient, and it happened to coincide with the beginning of the crack cocaine epidemic, which was incurable. The techniques that we'd been using pretty successfully with alcoholics, where we had about a 50% long-term recovery rate, which is actually extraordinarily good now that we're looking at 100% relapse rates starting in the 1980s. So, along with all the other addiction professionals in the country, I went into a depression. We acknowledged that we didn't have the tools to help these people. And the next thing I knew, I was invited to a conference given by a group of neuroscientists. Neuroscience, you know, at that time in the early 80s was a pretty new field. But it had attracted people who were specializing in a lot of different areas, and there were a number of people worldwide studying the brain and how it generates addictive cravings. And they had learned that our addictive cravings are indeed generated in the brain by very specific, simple mechanisms. And one of them had actually done studies using nutrients to correct the flaws in the chemistry of addicts, in the brain chemistry of addicts. And it was very impressive, and it was very simple. And I happened to have just hired a nutritionist who was getting nowhere with just recommending dietary change. But she was a researcher, and I said, please research these nutrients called amino acids. And if you find that they're safe, we're going to start a pilot program in 2 weeks. And I had a colleague in Minnesota who ended up writing the most significant book on alcoholism recovery ever produced called 7 Weeks to Sobriety. She's just recently deceased, Joan Matthews Larson, who had told me she had been using these nutrients, that they really worked on crack cocaine addicts. So we started with our first nutrient recovery project. Our first client, who'd been struggling with crack cocaine addiction for 5 years, really trying, good family, good job even, never could stay clean. And in the first week, on a single nutrient, he came back 7 days later and said, it's the first week I haven't used in 5 years. So we knew we were onto something, and we continued to look at the work of this particular scientist, whose name was Kenneth Blum, and follow his lead. And that was in the middle 80s. And so once I got a grip on the concept and the tools, and I had my professional nutritionist on staff, we've just been developing and fine-tuning this extraordinary nutritional recovery tool ever since.
You know, when you think about the extent of the problem then, and even more so now, of addiction, and, you know, understanding also that it's related to a deficiency of, I guess, in the brain, right? I
mean, that's right. About the brain. Very specific, well-known deficiencies, by the way. This is not some sort of arcane, you know, information that came from a psychic experience. This is scientifically verified. Any textbook on brain biochemistry will talk about the nutrients and how they produce these wonderful chemicals called neurotransmitters that transmit feelings, are supposed to be transmitting feelings of happiness, pleasure, joy, satisfaction. But when the nutrient supply is interrupted, what we get instead is depression, anxiety, and cravings for drug-like substances, the most popular and deadly of which at the moment is sugar.
So that's where we'll delve into right now. Let's talk about the cravings that we have for food, for the and as a result, you know, the addiction to sweets and to processed foods, and the consequences to our health and to the epidemic of well, it's diabetes, but, you know, we have to look at Alzheimer's as well, because that's considered type 3 diabetes, right? So
that's right.
We're having, you know, it's a global effect on our physiology and our functioning physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. So let's, you know, we'll focus on the craving cure understanding on this conversation, because I think it will benefit so many people. And then when we talk about the mood and how to help heal the brain so we can heal ourselves of anxiety and depression, that's another full conversation. So let's start with...
It's a very similar one, though. And everything that we learn as we talk today will benefit people whose primary problem is their mood, because it's really our diet and the malnutrition that we've been experiencing since the 1970s that has caused the problems with our neurotransmitter system that generates both cravings and negative moods. So it just takes longer to talk about them. So let's start with you.
Yeah.
It's interesting that you talked about the global effect of our diet, and you were talking about on the brain and body, well, primarily brain, but I think it's also important to talk about the fact that this is the epidemic of junk food consumption leading to the epidemic of obesity and diabetes, depression and anxiety. Started in this country, but it's now a worldwide epidemic. Doesn't do it justice, you know. Really, I use the word advisedly, apocalypse. We're talking about countries like India and Japan having 70% to 80% diabetes rates, and the United States here in California, 50% pre-diabetes or diabetes. So we're actually, we started it, but the other countries in the world, the populations of the world are more vulnerable to our foods. You know, they really have no defense. We've been getting used to our foods for decades, but it's all new to them. And point being, it's apocalyptic, but it's a simple problem. And its solution is also simple. So most people feel guilty as well as desperate about, what am I going to do, you know, to lose this weight, you know, cure this diabetic condition before it kills me. And they can't figure it out, because until very recently, it wasn't common knowledge that the diet that we're eating it actually has drug-like effects on the brain, and has the diet has addicted us. We haven't chosen to eat these foods. These companies have chosen us as the victims of a kind of a hidden addiction, a mass hidden addiction. So if it's not our fault and it's not a failure of willpower, what is it? And fortunately, as I said, these brain scientists figured out a long time ago that there were five centers in the brain that control our appetite. And so if we're going to stop eating, take control of our appetite, become native eaters, our native appetite is waiting for us. We just need to plug into it. And it turns out that the brain is very sensitive to the modern diet, and it's suffering really incapacitating levels of malnutrition. We are, and our brain is really the most vulnerable part of us in terms of our food choice. It's in charge, and if it's not functioning properly, we make poor food choices. So how are we going to turn that around? It turns out that these five areas of the brain that affect our food choices are fueled by a very simple nutritional system, and that over the past 30 years we've seen consistently in thousands of cases very, very quick response to these nutrients in terms of appetite. So people identify which nutrients they're deficient in, they take them, and within typically 24 hours, their cravings are diminished. And within another day or so, they don't have any at all. And it's such an extraordinary claim because there's so much suffering that could be relieved by it. It's so unfair that something we've known about for 30 years shouldn't be common knowledge to everyone. So it's great that we're having this interview and talking about what's really behind our cravings and liberating ourselves from trying to figure it out. What's wrong with me? There is something wrong with us, but it doesn't have anything to do with willpower or intention. It really has to do with our poor, staggering, malnourished brain. And how can we feed it so that it will start telling us to eat healthful foods and allow us to put down the toxic, addictive junk food?
So, Julia, so what you're saying is that when processed foods loaded with sugar, high fructose corn syrup, and all the other chemicals that come along with it, when that has become a staple in our diet, it really has become a staple for most people. That has set us that kind of, hard to even call it food, right? It's not real food.
Well, in the craving cure, I call it techno carbs to try and distinguish.
Like
it's
that.
Not really food. It's technology, food technology has designed these high-calorie, nutrient-void substances and dressed them up in cute packages with adorable names and so forth to have a specific effect on specific parts of the brain. For example, M&Ms. I don't know about in Australia, but in the United States, they're the top-selling candy. And, of course, chocolate and sugar are the primary components. They did a study on the brain and how M&Ms specifically affect it, and they found that M&Ms increased our endorphin production by 150%, which is the same exact percent in the same location in the brain that morphine works on, opium, heroin. So we know that chocolate in particular has this opiate effect, and it's enormous. And when we use a substance like it, we can't just turn away from it. You know, we'll very quickly become habituated to it so that the brain actually needs it in order to have a lift, but that gradually it'll erode the natural function of our endorphins, which are, you know, they used, before we got involved in all this kind of food, we really enjoyed wholesome food. You know, we've thousands of cuisines all over the planet, you know, marvelous flavors, healthful food. We knew what made us feel good, and we enjoyed the taste too, but we knew what kinds of foods we needed. We knew when we needed them, and we were satisfied by a meal rather than to never be satisfied and to want to continually come back to foods.
So do you think that the, you know, they call it ultra-processed food now, they didn't call it fast food, or it's kind of named right, ultra-processed food, I think that's the term being used. But so do you think that's one of the primary reasons that has infiltrated our diet, that has become the norm, that has generated such a profound deficiency within our body, along with all the other chemicals, preservatives that go with it?
The reason I was talking about how we used to eat is that we've been on the planet for millions of years, and this has never happened to us before. It started in the 1970s when fructose was developed, when we became afraid, you know, got mistaken information, became afraid of fats. We became afraid of proteins because most protein, you know, meat, so forth, has a fat coating. So it's hard to get protein without fat. So we turned to carbs, and refined carbs were so delicious, and that was the beginning of our addiction, our mass addiction. And the real problem being that refined carbs, which is mostly what we're talking about here, have almost no nutritional value. They're actually been studied by an international study and concluded that 60% of these foods are nutrient void, completely void of nutritional value. They have calories. They have excessive amounts of calories, but very little nutritional value. So when we try and run something as complicated as a brain, which has 100 billion cells operating these neurotransmitters, we can't be feeding ourselves something that's, you know, so nutrient void. You know, we can't thrive. And we've been actually depending on them for most of our sustenance for several generations now. So it's pretty serious, but it is not irreparable. And that's the beauty of it, is that the body, when given the right nutrients, springs into action, starts to behave normally, wants healthy food. So that's what we've been focusing on in my clinic since we got this wonderful tool handed to us in 1986. We've been refining our work with it. We don't even do counseling anymore because there's so many good counselors, but there are so few people who can do what we do, which is point people in the right direction in terms of feeding their brains.
Well, let's jump into that. I just want to ask you one other thing, or actually a question. So when you are making, our ultra-processed junk food the primary source of nutrition, using that word loosely. But even when you go into markets and have all these frozen foods, they also must be seriously devoid of true nutrition too, even though they have vegetables in them or other, meats. But this can't be the same as if you are cooking something fresh, right? Something has to be lost in the process of processing the food. So because we're so nutrient deficient, and having an excess of a lot of these inflammatory producing substances like carbs. That then contributes, I would imagine, to compromised immune system, compromised gut, the inability to repair and regenerate the system. So it just has led to this spiral, downward spiral of our overall health and this increase of so many chronic illnesses these days.
That's right. It's inevitable, obvious, and terrible. Fortunately, it's reversible. And
right.
You know, most of those conditions caused by our dangerous diet are also reversible. So
let's talk about how we
might go about saving ourselves. And the first step, which is what I had to take, you know, with my clinic staff. My nutritionist didn't know anything about this this use of nutritional supplements. So we learned from our clients and from the information that we were getting from neuroscience. How do we know which nutrients somebody needs? Well, first of all, we found that we only had a choice of five, so that simplified things. There are only five parts of the brain that needs to be fed, and some people, they're all five appetite-controlling brain centers are, you know, a mess. Other people, they only need to feed two. You know, the others are functioning pretty well. So we figured out how we could assess people for neurotransmitter deficiency. So there's a questionnaire with five sections on it, identifying which symptoms that tell you which part of your brain is in need of help. And once you have that vital information, and it's a very reliable instrument, we've been working on it, as I say, for 30 years. Once you've identified which are the high-scoring symptom pictures of the five possible causes of your food cravings, the next step is to identify which nutrient fixes that particular part of the brain. And that's another very easy thing to do because each of these brain targets is fueled by just a single nutrient. In a family of nutrients, the most potent nutrients on the face of the earth, 20 of them called amino acids. So they are the components of protein. And each one of them is like a treasure chest. And when they're combined, they produce, you know, beautiful tissue everywhere in the body, you know, from our DNA to our toenails. Primary material of our physical bodies is amino acid based. But it turns out there are only five of them that are critical for restoring this beautiful brain chemistry that should be regulating our appetite and our mood. So we match up the nutrients with our symptoms, and then we do what we call trialing. We get a hold of whatever of the five amino acids looks like a solution for us, and we trial it. And that means that we open up a capsule, a little bit of water, swish it around in our mouths where it absorbs very quickly, and wait for about 5 minutes. If we don't feel anything in 15, we take another one. And typically, one or two is enough to give us our answer because we look back at our symptoms and we realize they've faded. And that's how fast these nutrients act and how in control we can be. This does not require, you know, drug science. It doesn't require, you know, a huge amount of education. We just identify what we need, find the potential cures, use those nutrients. If they work, we continue using them for a certain number of months until we don't need them any longer. We are freed of the craving for the toxic foods, so we're eating well, we're eating protein, and pretty soon we don't even need the supplements anymore. Some people need them for 3 months. Children need them for 2 weeks, young children. So this is it's a simple, potent, safe, and effective brain repair process, that self-repair.
Well, yeah, well, so, yeah, you know, it's so profound because, you know, I use some of these amino acids myself. And, you know, I can be, you know, feeling a little, and that's how it starts, feeling a little anxious or presenting at one time. I'd be really anxious and I would take some GABA, for instance, and it's like, oh, everything is good. I'm relaxed. I'm not anxious. I'm present. And, it, you know, within 20 minutes or so, I was feeling different.
Well, let's start with GABA then, because since COVID, particularly the amount of overeating of the techno carbs, the toxic refined super processed carbs, has gone way up. And so it's a very good place to start in terms of looking at what can we do. So many people need help with dealing with stress because they're using food, alcohol, pot, whatever. But food is our main target and really the most dangerous substance on the planet right now. So how do we dodge it? In the case of GABA, GABA is the name. It actually has a really long name, GABA aminobutyric acid. And it deserves a long name because it's the most marvelous thing. It's our natural tranquilizer. It neutralizes adrenaline. It just is so calming and healing. And it's all ours. We just need to build up our supplies if we tend to feel overstressed and anxious a lot. So your report on how it makes you feel within, you know, short period of time is the classic report. You know, I've heard it thousands of times. And so along with feeling relaxed, you find, oh, I don't need to eat my usual chill out foods, you know, I'm okay as I am. And that's how it prevents the cravings, by giving you back what the body is supposed to be naturally producing, what it knows how to produce beautifully. So we've just taken care of the stress craver, and so where do you get GABA? Well, it turns out it's all over the place. Any place that sells nutrient supplements sells some form of GABA or another, and we found that you can actually use a really small amount of GABA, a huge bang for your buck, and the craving cure goes into the different strengths and so forth, but our favorite is called GABA Calm. It's made by a company called Source Naturals, and it's 125 milligrams. So it's very low potency. Most of the amino acids come in capsule form, and they're about 500 milligrams. But with GABA, this is a chewable, and so you get the impact right away. And but there are some people who really need more, and so for them, there are 500 milligram capsules. If GABA is the problem, it's easy to find a solution.
And can I just say one other thing about GABA? If you take it during the day, I find, and if you are experiencing some anxiety, anxiousness for whatever reason, you know, it will, you know, remove that state. You know, you're back into what they call the Zen place. But it can also, if taken before bed, it can support deeper, more restful sleep. Not as a sedative, but just by relaxing the body so it can go into a deep sleep state. So sometimes I take it before I go to bed just so I can get an uninterrupted, you know, 8 hours of sleep.
And that's another thing that you can learn very quickly. If you have the characteristic tension in the shoulders and neck that comes with a low GABA state, then it's, you know, it's a great thing to take to unwind and get into a nice relaxed place to go to sleep. But some people can get very relaxed, but their sleep problem is caused by something else, like a melatonin deficiency or too much stimulation from adrenaline or cortisol that's coming up at the wrong time, which, you know, we can talk about another time. But at any rate, the other thing that GABA is wonderful for is attention. Without being a stimulant, it allows people to calm. It gets rid of that adrenaline that can, you know, make you sort of jittery and make it difficult to concentrate on a single thing. And we've actually treated, I'm thinking of a boy that we treated who had been on ADD medication that had not worked very well for him. And so we tried him on GABA. And before we tried him, I said, I want you to take this, and then I'm going to give you a medical textbook that we happen to have lying around here about the most boring thing you could possibly read and impossible to focus on if your ability to focus is poor, and see how you do. And he took the GABA calm. He chewed it up. And, you know, a minute or two later, I handed him the book. He opened it up, and he started reading from it. And he read. We had to stop him. Okay, that's enough.
Wow.
So it's quite the extraordinary nutrient. But it's not the only one that people are drawn to. As a matter of fact, I talked earlier about the M&Ms targeting the endorphin-producing part of the brain. So of the five parts, we've just taken care of the stress-reducing part of the brain. If you're eating for because you're overstressed, we've just taken care of you. But let's say you're a chocolate addict, or let's just say you're a comfort food addict. It could be chocolate. It could be dough. It could be ice cream. But the point is that the part of the brain that that food is targeting is your natural opiate. So we all make this marvelous pleasure-producing neurotransmitter called endorphin. And there are actually several subcategories of it that we won't go into, but all of them are made out of protein and different amino acids. But there's one amino acid supplement in particular that is the most effective of all nutrients we've ever found in helping the brain to increase its endorphin production, and it happens very fast. It's called D-phenylalanine, or DPA. And when people identify as comfort food eaters, we recommend that they trial DPA. And again, in you know very short order, it's a 500 milligram capsule. They take it and start smiling, typically. I was just talking to one of my trainees. I train health professionals in how to do this. And she was talking about trialing her daughter. She's just starting to use the nutrients. And she said, my daughter, you know, it's summer, and she's not in the best of moods in general. And yesterday she never left her room. Today she was in the same kind of miserable mood and still in her pajamas, and I went in and asked her if she would trial some aminos with me, and I gave her the DPA, and she smiled, and she gave her a second one, and she laughed, and she asked her, what would you like to eat if you could have whatever you wanted right now? And she said, about a tuna salad. This is not something she would ordinarily be thinking about. Mm-hmm. And her mother was thrilled, and she was too. And she went outside in the sun. She wanted to be outdoors with her dog. So this is the kind of quick response we get to this comfort food opiate craving. I would say that is the most common type of craving, is that comfort food craving. So getting rid of that, we have three more causes of craving. And one of them that probably a lot of people who enjoy your program would be familiar with is the hypoglycemic kind of craving, where you haven't eaten, maybe you've just had some coffee for breakfast, and you start to have ravenous cravings and a headache and feeling kind of stressed, and you're having a hard time focusing. You may become short-tempered. There are a lot of symptoms. There are probably 45 different symptoms of hypoglycemia, negative symptoms that are possible, but those, what I've just described, is the most common. The kind of feelings that drive us to something sweet, typically, to raise our blood sugar, typically too high. That starts the whole blood sugar roller coaster that ends up with diabetes eventually. But we can interrupt it with an amino acid supplement, which is actually the precursor to glucose. It will convert itself magically from a protein into sugar, but just enough to feed the cells of the brain, not too much. Not so much that there's a big surge of insulin and, you know, the whole process starts over again. So, you know, we've seen thousands of people who carry glutamine around with them in case they should miss a meal and start getting those kinds of cravings again. They would have it at hand, open the capsule, it tastes good in their mouths, and almost immediately the craving disappears and their mood levels out, giving them time to find something real to eat. So that's probably the, you know, second or third most common cause of cravings, and so easy to relieve. Have you had any experience or any of your clients with glutamine?
No, I haven't. But doesn't glutamine also help repair the gut?
I'm telling you, these amino acids all have multiple functions that are extraordinary. Yeah. I mean, in the craving cure, I have a whole chapter, you know, about how glutamine cures hypoglycemia, but I also talk about what else it does, you know, and gut healing is the first time I ever learned about glutamine was during the AIDS epidemic, and the deaths from AIDS were usually caused by this GI condition called Kaposi's sarcoma, and at some point, the registered dietitians who weren't, especially in those days, supposed to be using supplements, they were anti the supplement industry. You know, they were just supposed to be focusing on food, but they discovered glutamine and that it would cure Kaposi's sarcoma quickly. And it took 30 to 50 grams a day. That's a lot, a huge amount, really. But it took that much to cure this particular condition, and these people lived, and these registered dietitians lost their licenses at that time. Now, you know, they fought it through and they're allowed to do it, but that's where we learned how potent glutamine was. Little did we know at the time that it was going to be a savior, you know, save people from diabetes, obesity, and so forth. So I encourage you to explore that with, you know, everyone you come across who's identifying with the symptoms of hypoglycemia.
I just want to say, you know, when someone is hypoglycemic or they're diabetic, right, and their blood sugar drops, they go for sugar, right? They go for soda. They go for a candy bar. And I go, oh, no.
But they have to because they ate sugar The body went into shock, sent out the army of adrenaline. The adrenaline scraped all the sugar out of the bloodstream and most of the nutrients along with it. And so suddenly, from having too much sugar, they have, again, too little. They go back to the sugar, and it starts all over again. And this, it just interrupts it marvelously.
Okay, so that's glutamine. We've done GABA. We've done D-L-phenol.
The endorphin deficiency, the DPA.
Yeah. DPA. Glutamine. And so what's the next one? Out of five, four.
The next one is our natural stimulant, which when it's deficient, we're drawn to stimulants like Coca-Cola and, you know, sugar-sweetened lemonade and sugar-sweetened iced tea and so forth. Another, you know, kind of a double whammy of a craving because we've got the caffeine craving combined with the sugar craving there. And this particular amino acid, tyrosine, is highly stimulating. So it livens up the brain so that we don't have any interest in caffeine. So that particular source of craving disappears. Typically, you know, we've got a lot of coffee drinkers, dark chocolate addicts, you know, who aren't doing the sugar with it. Tyrosine alone will cure those addictions. If they like their caffeine with sugar, then those people typically need to combine the tyrosine for the energy and stimulation with one of the other amino acids to get rid of that we've already talked about to get rid of the whole bit. So then there's one left. That's the one that you mentioned early on. When we have a deficiency of serotonin, which is the neurotransmitter that prevents depression, it's really our natural inner sunshine, then we crave food, especially in the afternoon and evening when it's dark. The body's very sensitive to light, and serotonin is our inner light, but when serotonin levels are low and it's starting to get dark, that's the key to this fifth type of craving, and we call this kind of craver the depressed craver, but they could be anxious too. It's kind of a terrible mental condition to be low in serotonin. These are people who are going to be trying antidepressants that are targeted towards serotonin, which, you know, most of them are. And whether they work or not, you know, most of them aren't the complete answer, that's for sure. And side effects abound and so forth. So it's just great that we've got a nutrient, the nutrient that's so well known to produce serotonin in the brain. It's called tryptophan. There's a second form of it called 5-HTP. They're both available very readily. And they turn off that state of mind, that anxious, depressed, negative state of mind, fearful, that draws a lot of people to the junk food. Now, one of the other things to mention here is that there's a chapter in the mood cure. We're talking about the craving cure, but the mood cure has a chapter about how to get off of antidepressants using these natural serotonin feeding nutrients. And I know you were concerned about that when we were talking before the interview.
Yes, and that's why we're going to have you back so we can get into more depth on how to help people get their moods back to, you know, be happy again, to be relaxed again, to be stabilized again, and also how to wean yourself safely, I emphasize safely.
Off of the medications, right.
Yeah.
So
you know, Julia, I just, you know, as you're going through this, you know, I just can't help but think about how much suffering could be alleviated that people are going through if they understood that they were nutrient deficient or deficient, particularly in, well, their diet is deficient, which leads to this nutritional, this deficiency of these amino acids. And as people learn this information and apply it, how quickly they can resolve all these driving emotions, right, that it adversely affect them and cause so much upset, disease, suffering, you know, stress in one's life. What you're offering and what your research has brought to light is that the brain just needs some simple nutrition, and it can alter the way we perceive life, the way we interact with life, the choices we make that will bring us more happiness and more balance again into life, rather than this crazy spiral people are on and medicated as a result of just being deficient. It's so sad, really, when you think about how much people suffer because they don't know this.
Well, and the other, you know, the other form of suffering is that, you know, we're actually experiencing worldwide deformity. It's not normal for the human body. Before the 1970s, when our diet went haywire, you can look at any crowd picture and everyone would be a normal weight. It's very unusual. There was no diabetes in the 1950s. Mm-hmm. None in the United States. It was even more rare worldwide. Now we have 50% diabetes rates, and the rest of the world has even worse. We've suffered because we don't have our bodies. You know, we know they don't look the way they should, and it's understandable that we become frantic and obsessed. Unfortunately, low-calorie dieting is another form of malnutrition, and that's what we've done, is go from eating, you know, nutrient-deficient, too much of these nutrient-deficient foods, and then we go to eating not enough of any food. So we've been trapped, not knowing there was a way out, and I'm so glad to be able to share with you and your audience that there is a way out, and there's so much detail in this book that they might get overwhelmed. There's a whole chapter on what we did in the 1970s, for example, that ruined our diet and our health, you know. But there are central pair of chapters 11 and 12, that just tell you how to use the amino acids. So that starts out with a questionnaire. You go to chapters 11 and 12. Our virtual clinic is always available, especially for food cravers who are so easy to help. And you can find out about that on our website, juliarosscures.com.
Right. So I was just going to emphasize, people really need to go to Julia's website, which is juliarosscures.com. So much information there. The questionnaire you have is so profound, and that's what really got me so interested in learning about that questionnaire and connecting it with the amino acids. And, you know, what you're sharing, and as we come to the end of this conversation, I'm so glad we're going to have part two, too, because there's so much more to say. But,
right.
You know, that what you have brought into the world and has expanded to dealing with so many issues is the understanding that the brain needs the right nutrition, and if you give it the right amino acid, the results are almost instantaneous, which is pretty phenomenal when you think about how quickly things can change if we just provide the brain with the food it needs, the nutrients it needs. And that's what's staggering, that we can move out of these addictive states so rapidly and safely, and then be able to stay on that healing path as a result of no longer being a prisoner to your addiction. So
beautifully said.
Oh, well, thank you. I mean, but so deep, so profound, and you know, so grateful to you, Julia, for the dedication you've had to write your books, to put this information together, to make it available to the you know, to the layperson out there, it's, you know, it's not rocket science, really.
It's
and,
not.
You know, and you know, some of those testimonials, which is how quickly things can shift, I think is inspirational for people. So I hope people will check out Julia's website, juliarosscures.com. Get her wonderful books and The Craving Cure. We're going to talk about the mood cure next week. And know that there is a way out and that there is light at the end of the tunnel, and we can regain our healthy brains and perceive life with more joy and happiness and contentment. And Julia, you've made my day. So thank you so much for our time.
You're welcome.
Together, and I look forward to our next part two conversation.
I do too.
It's truly releasing people from the prison that they're in of suffering. So we have so much more to share.
Thank you, Julia.
Oh, you're so welcome. And thank you all for listening again. Tune in next week when we have Julia Ross back to talk about the mood cure, helping to heal anxiety, depression, and help you get off of medications if you're on it for your depression or anxiety. So, Julia, great week.
Have a good time.
And to everyone, have to go. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman. You're listening to What Women Must Know. And as always, honor the wisdom of your feminine self. Bye for now.